Good morning. It's 8 a.m. You're listening to KVNF, and this is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. About 10% of Colorado's registered voters have cast ballots for the November 5th election. As Benta Berkland reports, Republicans have so far turned out in higher numbers.
The latest figures from the Colorado Secretary of State's office show 53,000 more Republicans have voted compared to Democrats. Unaffiliated voters have the lowest turnout up to this point, with just 119,000 voting. But it's still early, says Andrew Cole with the Colorado Secretary of State's office. He notes that this election will be unique because a new state law requires every voter to receive a mail-in ballot.
I think there's going to be a learning curve to some extent amongst voters. Some people are going to get a ballot that weren't used to getting a ballot. Other people who like to vote in person may see their voting location different because now all counties are in voter service centers rather than polling places.
Turnout in off-year elections is generally lower than presidential years. Voters this year only have two statewide measures on the ballot, a sales and excise tax for recreational marijuana, and an income tax increase to pay for public schools. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
One of those hotly contested issues on the ballot is Amendment 66, the measure that would fund Colorado public schools through a two-tiered income tax increase. Supporters say the increase would be an investment in the future of Colorado's kids and help provide much-needed funding to the state's education system, specifically for programs aimed at helping at-risk students and those with special needs. Opponents, meanwhile, say the tax increase could hurt the state's economic recovery and places an unfair burden on taxpayers, since some of their money might be allocated more for other districts than for their own. While the Delta County School Board hasn't taken an official stance on the issue, District Superintendent Karen Gibson says she thinks the increased funding would definitely help the county's schools.
Anytime we can have additional funding come into the school district, it would help.
Gibson says the new funding would support nearly 100% of the district's all-day kindergarten and help support much-needed resources for the county's large population of students with special needs. Still, she says she's heard plenty of concerns from community members about the amendment.
I would hope that it would pass, but many people have shared that they're not in support of increasing taxes. They want to support kids, but they don't want increased taxes. In Delta County, I don't know how that'll go.
The St. Louis-based Arch Coal Company that operates the West Elk Mine near Somerset is reporting lower-than-expected losses. That's despite weakening coal prices, thanks in part to reduced expenses. According to the Denver Post, the mine posted its third-quarter figures on Tuesday, showing the company lost 61 cents per share from July through September, which amounts to about $128.4 million. Those losses were expected to be worse as the market for coal used in steel production remains weak and European demand for that steel remains low. But Arch has managed to soften some of those economic effects by selling two longwall mines and around 105 million tons of coal reserves in Utah to Bowie Resources, a move that helped the company net around $423 million. As the Post reports, Arch CEO John Eaves said he expects that sale will save the company more than $200 million in capital and administrative costs as Arch continues to deal with what he calls challenging global coal markets. Arch officials say they expect those markets to bounce back, at least with coal used for electricity generation. Colorado U.S. Representative Scott Tipton recently called on the Environmental Protection Agency to seek input from rural Americans as it considers new regulations on power plants. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, the Republican representative asked the EPA to reach out to rural communities he says would be most impacted by the new regulations. Tipton also criticized the EPA's move to hold a listening session on the proposed regulations in Denver today, saying that holding the meeting in a major metropolitan center doesn't work towards what he calls real stakeholder engagement. The listening session taking place today is one of 11 happening across the country and the only one to take place in Colorado. More than $100,000 has been donated to campaigns opposing and supporting Telluride's proposed soda tax. The Telluride Daily Planet reports the proposed 1 cent per ounce tax on sugary drinks known as Question 2A has drawn money from a number of outside donors. Kick the Can Telluride, the group supporting the measure, reportedly secured a $50,000 donation from the Action Now Initiative, a Texas-based nonprofit led by part-time Telluride residents John and Laura Arnold. Meanwhile, the measure's opposition group, No on 2A, has seen donations from two major supporters. The Colorado Beverage Association, a Denver-based industry group, gave $20,000 to the opposition campaign, while the American Beverage Association, based in Washington, D.C., donated $55,000. As the Daily Planet reports, Telluride Town Council member Tom Carnevale said the amount of money pouring in from outside interests is, quote, extraordinary. Carnevale also said his early vote against the soda tax even appearing on the ballot stemmed from his fears of how much outside lobbying influence would impact the issue. 2A supporters say the outside money has been essential to their campaign. Emo Overall spearheaded the soda tax question and told the Daily Planet that she expected a strong fight from the beverage industry. Overall says pro-soda tax campaign would have been, quote, quickly swashed without the outside donations. You are listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubenik.